And welcome back to the Elite Takeover Podcast, the place to find all your news and weekly reviews of the wrestling going on in the world. I'm your host, Aiden, as always, joined by
Raph.
And today we will be looking at last night's NXT Vengeance Day. But before we get going, make sure to leave a 5-star review, download, subscribe to the podcast. We're found on all major podcast homes. If you're on YouTube, give us a like, subscribe to the channel. It really helps us a lot. But let's get into it. Generally, what did you think of NXT Vengeance Day from last night?
It was a lot of fun.
It was a
and
very
surprising.
Good show. Yes.
A couple of bits.
Yes, we did have a couple of surprises along the way. Should we start with the big? Should we start with the ending, or should we leave the end till the end?
We'll leave the end to the end.
Okay, we'll leave the end to the end.
Because the beginning is also very exciting.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, the first thing on the show we started off was a little bit on the pre-show. We got the debut of L.A. Knight, which is a dreadful name.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I haven't seen enough of Eli Drake to really, like, have an opinion on him, to be honest. I know of him, but haven't seen him do stuff, so I don't have an opinion on him. I thought he did a promo, pretty much your typical heel stuff, where he just slagged off the other guys on the pre-show thing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, said he arrived, basically. That was kind of it. It was fine. We need to see him do something actually a bit more substantial, but the promo was fine. He clearly can speak.
It's just the name that is weird.
But the name's dreadful. Like, I know you could say the same thing about, like Dolph Ziggler and all those kind of things. Like, you can't hear them announcing, "And your new NXT champion, L.A. Knight."
L.A. Knight.
I don't hear it, personally.
No.
It's very, like, 80s.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, an 80s TV show, almost.
Yes. I get what you mean. It sounds like the name of a TV show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure it won't hold him back at all, but no. It puts him off with the wrong foot for me. Starting off in the company, but yeah, okay, it's not his fault. I look forward to seeing what he's going to do on NXT going forwards. But our first major match of the night, we had the finals of the Dusty Classic Women's Tag Team Classic. I know I said classic twice there. I apologize. It's early in the morning.
It's all right.
But yes, the finals of Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai taking on Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. Really fun match, this one. Very much,
so
very much like full of spots, lots and lots and lots of spots in this one.
Yeah.
They're always trying to get to the big spot.
Quite fast paced as well, which was nice.
Yeah. The early goings in this match, pretty much where we always kept coming back to, Raquel would come in, dominate.
Yeah.
She'd get hit by a move, kind of no sell it, be dominating to them. And then both Ember and Shotzi would manage to somehow get like a double team move in on Raquel, which would get her like off her feet slightly. She'd get the tag to Dakota, and then they would work over Dakota.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning section of the match, they spent a long time with Ember Moon, had Dakota in a leg lock, and dragging her across the ring, trying to tease the tag to Raquel. It was odd, because it was like, that's very much like the, it was the wrong way around in terms of like babyface heel, because they were teasing the hot tag to Raquel a lot, which is just interesting.
Yeah.
but it made sense. They did that for ages. It was some really nice spots in this match, though. It was a little bit overbooked to points, for me personally, like when Ember Moon hit the Eclipse onto Raquel, and she got the visual pinfall, but the referee was too distracted to see it.
Yeah.
And there was another point where the ref, there was like early in the match, there was a lot of like ref shenanigans.
Yes.
With him not noticing things or him getting upset with stuff, which I didn't entirely like. But the thing was, it was only really in the first half of the match.
Yes.
And then once he got into the second half of the match, they kind of stopped doing all of that stuff.
Yeah, it started picking up a bit more as like halfway through the match. Not even halfway, but yeah.
We got a bit of miscommunication between Dakota and Raquel, potentially setting up a future split between the two of them. They were beating each other up unintentionally for like,
which made us think that our predictions were right,
yeah,
that Ember and Shotzi
were gonna win. But yeah, they ended up hitting each other, and Ember and Shotzi took advantage of them to do damage to each other. yeah, lots of really big spots on in this one. And there was the spot on the outside to Raquel.
Mm-hmm.
No, to Dakota. They, I can't remember exactly. She had Dakota on her shoulders and then Shotzi dove off the top, I think.
Yes, yes.
And then Raquel got up like nothing had happened to her from the outside and just rammed into them.
Yes. It was a really good match.
It was a really fun match.
There was a couple of points that were a little bit like...
But it was mainly the camera work that was the issue. Like, the camera work would catch them before they were supposed to be sneaking in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was one point where they were literally just focusing the camera on Ember Moon, who was literally standing there waiting to run in to break up the pin. They caught Shotzi Blackheart. No, I think it was Ember as well. Yeah, they caught Ember trying to get up to the top rope to break up a pinfall attempt before... And try another one where she to do a crossbody onto Raquel and with Shotzi on her back. I think that one, no, that one was Shotzi jumping onto Raquel and Ember, but they caught her as well. They caught a lot of
stuff.
Yeah,
there was one that they were in the corner and they were trying to do the a kick. But like, obviously the kick goes in front of your face, doesn't really go onto your face, and the camera caught that really well. And yeah, there's just a couple of like, mishaps from the camera crew.
Yeah. But the match comes to an end where Raquel ends up throwing Ember Moon off of the rampway into the glass thingy on the outside, chucking her out into that, and then they end up destroying Shotzi Blackheart with the big choke slam from Raquel. Mm-hmm. And then Dakota jumps on top of the pinfall. They both are on top of the pinfall. 1, 2, 3. Raquel Gonzalez and I was about to say Shotzi. Shotzi Blackheart. No, we have not had a twist turn. And Dakota Kai are your winners of the first ever Dusty Rhodes Women's Tag Team Classic.
Bring the tag titles over to NXT, please.
Yeah,
they are good. They are a good match for Nia and Shayna.
Yeah.
Like, if it was Shotzi and then Ember Moon, I wouldn't bet on it. But with Raquel and Dakota, I'm 95% sure they would be able to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued as to if they're going to be able to do it. It depends when the match is. It depends if Shane and Nia might have lost the titles by then. You never know with all this kind of stuff.
But still, I would love them to bring them over to NXT.
They should. I think it'd be a good place for them to go.
And then they could have a whole misunderstanding between the two of them, which would break the tag team apart or whatever.
But the question is whether that misunderstanding is going to happen after they win the belts or in the match trying to win the belts.
Exactly.
Because it's going to happen, because they're still clearly trying to build Raquel up for Io Shirai.
Yep.
It's going to happen at some point soon, because there's no one really in a position to take the title off Io Shirai that they've been building. Like, you probably could do it with Ember with a bit of build. If you, pushed her properly, because Ember kind of already has that, fire beneath her.
Yeah.
But they haven't really built up anyone apart from Raquel to be the person who could take that title over Mio. Because Mio's been built so strongly over the last year of having that title.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, they looked so happy when they won. When they won the trophy, they were super happy.
They're like, character break.
Yeah.
And just smile and be happy.
We're not bad guys anymore. We're just happy, happy people. Happy, happy people with our big, happy, happy trophy.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a really fun match. And even though there was the slight discrepancies with the camera workers and the referee stuff, I still thought the match was really good.
Yeah, I loved the match.
Really enjoyed it.
It
didn't take away enough. It didn't take away from me, really. Next up, we had Johnny Gargano taking on Kushida for the North American Championship. We see Kushida make his entrance, and then as the way are making their way out, suddenly out of nowhere, Dexter Lumis appears and chloroforms Austin Theory and drags him away without anyone noticing. They go to their entrance. Johnny's going for the high five. He wants the high five. And then there's no Austin Theory there, and he freaks out and tells Candice and Indy to go and deal with finding Austin Theory backstage. Definitely the right call, because this match did not need
interference. Didn't need anyone on the side of the ring whatsoever.
It would have taken away from this match if we'd had the way messing around with this on the outside, or had Dexter Lumis involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, this match was superb.
So good. I think it was probably the match of the night. For me,
it was the match of the night, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And
so fast-paced, so many flips, so many things. It's just so good.
Yeah. It was kind of like, it reminded me of like when you're further in a feud, when you've had like three matches with someone, mm-hmm. or they're like your former tag partner, you know them inside and out, so you know how to reverse every single one of their moves. It was that kind of match where it kind of go really fast sequence of reversal, 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 trying to get into the submissions, trying to get into the hoverboard lock and the Gargano escape,
yeah.
but keep rolling through into different pinfalls, into different submissions. It was really nice stuff.
Such a good match.
Really, really well done. I think this was a standout moment for Kushida in NXT.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't get the big win here, I don't think I know, like, the online chat that I've seen is people being upset that Kushida didn't win, or being upset, or just people have issues with Johnny Gargano matches.
Yeah.
Which I don't get personally. I get it because people have long-term issues with Johnny Gargano because his matches are so much like he kicks out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of get it, but I like those kind of matches. So it's just preference of your style, really.
And I could see like further down now seeing a feud between Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis.
Yeah.
Like with Kushida, I don't think I would see it. Especially because they've been building up the feud between Johnny and
Yeah, Dexter I don't know Lumis. Where... Yeah, Kushida wouldn't have gone anywhere. If Kushida had won the North American title,
Building anything for him to have a feud with.
Yeah, I think he just would have lost it very quickly to Cameron Grimes.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I know that's not just my preference of Cameron Grimes coming in. We'll talk about him later. the best thing on the card, Cameron Grimes. But yeah, super fast-paced action with this one. And then it would slow down to like really getting in those submissions, really working over Kushida, working over the left arm of Johnny Gargano, and Johnny working over the neck of Kushida.
Really
nice stuff in this one. It all came to a close where we ended up on the ramp. Kushida ended up at the top of the ramp by the screens, sprinting his way down.
Yes.
Huge kick to the arm of Johnny Gargano.
It was a cool
Gargano.
Camera work because we kind of like assumed that Dexter Lumis was going to show up. But then we looked and we were like, oh no, look.
Yeah,
it's
I thought something. Yeah.
It's Kushida just sprinting down the ramp.
They zoomed into Johnny Gargano so much, it really looked like it was one of the spots where Dexter was suddenly just going to be standing in front of him. But no, Kushida just at the top of the ramp, sprinting down, kick turn. They get in the ring. Kushida gets in the submission onto Johnny, standing up. Johnny uses the ropes mm-hmm. to hit the neck of Kushida onto the ropes to kind of knock him silly for a second, knocks him to the outside. Johnny hits one final beat onto the ramp, gets back in the ring. Well, gets Kushida back in the ring, hits one final beat again into the ring. 1-2-3, Johnny Gargano retains. Superb match. Really,
so,
really
so
good match.
Match of the night, definitely.
Yeah. And like the near falls in this were so good. As well, like there was a section where Kushida had an armbar in, and then a Kimura and an armbar in consecutively for like 2 minutes, and it was
we really thought that
so,
Gargano could
so
have...
close to like Gargano tapping out, and it really looked like he was going to.
It was really good, work between the two of them.
The only thing with that was it brought up our quest. The thing that always bothers me for submissions in these kind of matches is the ropes. Because like, what is the actual rule with it? Is it as soon as you touch the ropes you technically have to break the hold, or is it you have to be holding the ropes and then you break the thing? Because it's so inconsistent in what they do a lot of the time. And that's the only thing, but the match was
super.
It's just nothing. It's just I just wish for more consistency
exactly.
Different matches, but I thought the match was superb between these guys.
Good.
Match
so,
of the
so,
night.
So good.
Match of the night. Backstage, is this where we get the little video package? No, that's later.
It's
later on. So next up, we have the finals of the men's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. We have the Grizzled Young Veterans taking on MSK, the newbies to NXT. Before the match starts, Grizzled Young Vets do a promo down to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially just saying they're going to win.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It was a good promo, though. Zach Gibson is very good at what he does in his promos. He's definitely,
he's a really good talker.
He's a very good talker. He's always been a very good mm-hmm. talker. And it's good to see that they still allow him to talk on the NXT. Because obviously, like, accent barriers. I was going to say language barriers. It's not a language barrier. It's just an accent barrier.
Yeah.
But he's superb at what he does. Good. Yeah, this match, really enjoyable.
I think for me it would be like the second best match of the night.
Okay, interesting.
I liked it a lot just because of all the flips and all that stuff. I just love it so much. And there were so many cool spots of like tag team work.
Yeah, it's more your style of what you like.
Yeah.
I think for me the second best match was the main event.
Mm.
Just for some of the stuff they did, and that was really good.
Yeah. Again, that's not my style of wrestling.
No, I agree.
Of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
it makes sense.
I think this card did have very much a good variety of like styles of wrestling.
Yeah.
Like the first match was very much like spot to spot to spot in mm-hmm. terms of like hitting these big spectacle moments.
Yeah.
The second match, all this like super speedy technical counters and submissions.
Yeah.
And knowing each other so well. This match very much your typical heel face tag team with a lot of like flips around the place from MSK and good traditional heel work from mm-hmm. Grizzly Young Vets. The women's tag match was kind of a bit more of a brawl, I guess.
A brawl, yeah. I was going to say.
And then the main event just being a technical, I'm going to break you apart, kind of strong style match between Pete Dunne and Finn Balor. It's great. I enjoyed it for the variety of different types of matches they had.
Yeah.
I thought
it was really nice.
Well.
It didn't like bore you down into like watching just technical stuff or watching just flippy stuff. That is more of the same.
Yeah,
that was nice.
The only thing I think they could have done slightly differently in terms of their match order would have maybe been. I know it's NXT TakeOver, so they kind of have a very specific way they like to
mm-hmm.
order things on the card. But it would have been nice to have one of these, like either like the Dusty Classics or Kushida and Johnny Gargano after the women's match.
Yes,
just
because
like.
Agree.
It kind of meant all the fast-paced action was like in the first part, mm-hmm. first half of the show, and then the two main events were slower.
Yeah,
so,
I agree.
Yeah, and just because the women's match was the one that lacked the most on the card, so it could have it didn't need to be in the semi-main position.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, but yes, as we were saying, so MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans, really nice stuff in this one. I feel like I've said that in every single match.
I really thought I'd won this one. I really thought for the last 5 minutes, I was like, every time Grizzled Young Vets would like do a pinfall or something, I would always be like, oh, and Raph won, and they would just break it up. It was just it was just really like tension.
Yeah, this was the match that our predictions relied on. I had MSK, Raph had GYV, and
that's easier, GYV.
GYV, yeah. It is easier to say that than Grizzled Young Veterans. But yeah, really fun stuff in this one. There were some really cool spots in this. Probably the best spot, it was brutal, was when they had
MSK on the back.
Yeah, I think it was Drake who was in the ring. Gibson had him on
his back. Yeah, Gibson had him on the back, definitely.
Yeah. So Gibson had one of the members of MSK on his shoulders and on the outside, and then in the ring, James Drake ran, used the ropes, went through the second rope and hit a massive clothesline onto whichever member of MSK it was. It was on Zach Gibson's shoulders, taking it down, kind of a doomsday.
And he kind of like
move.
Just flipped out of it.
Yeah, it was.
And the Grizzling Young Vet. Would just Jesus
the Grizzling Young
GYV just landed on his feet. It was just so fun. It was so weird.
It was
incredible.
That was a really cool spot. Wesley, I think he looks like a star.
Yeah,
like he was superb in this.
Yeah, it was so
like,
good.
And yes, I understand he's the more flippy one. He's the more like show offish one. Because of the fact that he was the one doing all these massive somersaults.
Yeah.
Like flipping across the ring, hitting a big move. But like, I think he has a lot of... He obviously, I haven't seen that much of him. But he seems like he has the bigger potential going forwards.
Yeah. What I've watched yesterday, I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, and he just has the look.
Yeah,
he really has the look.
He really
like,
does.
Yeah, Carter... He's not a good wrestler. He just doesn't have a very good look.
Yeah, I know.
Personally,
he's changing his style or something like that. That's what he should.
He looks very generic to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Wesley looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Really good match with this one. The end of the match, Grizzly Young Vets are trying to get their ticket to Mayhem finish. unable to do it. It's kind of all come down to their tag finishers. Mm-hmm. Whoever was going to hit their tag finish first was going to win the match. MSK manages to come back into it after being taken out on the outside. Wesley managed to come back, prevents the finish, and then they ended up hitting their own tag team finish with a little bit of a twist this time, with Wesley bouncing off the ropes to go and do the
flippy flip thing.
The flippy flip thing. I can't remember the name for the move. Onto the top of whoever they pinned. James Drake, it would have been, because they're not going to pin Zach Gibson. Onto James Drake, and then pinned him to become the Dusty Classic winners. And yeah, so that's a
probably the youngest ones to do.
I have no idea how old they are, so I'm not going to make that judgment.
Fair enough. They just look so young.
They do look very young.
But they were so happy. They were like, as soon as they went for the pin, you could see like their faces like showing the emotion already. Like, it was so nice.
Yeah, it's really been very much a Cinderella story for these guys so far, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them getting those titles soon off of Larkin and Birch. But yeah, really good match between these ones. Also, it was nice to see, like, I forgot to mention earlier, the intensity that they got during the match. Like, instead of them just being like fun and who cares.
Yeah,
they got very intense as the match went on. They had a real fire beneath them.
Yeah,
and really,
they were
like,
"We want
going
to. We need to win this. We want to win this." Yeah.
And Grizzly Young Vets are great as always. It's a bit of a shame for them to not pick up this victory
again.
Again, yeah, they do need something.
Yeah,
and I think they should just kind of keep this going.
Mm-hmm.
They should keep this going as a feud. Have MSK win the titles off of Larkin and Birch, and then your tag team division around like these guys for the time being.
Yeah.
MSK and Grizzly Young Vets. Have Grizzly Young Vets steal those tag championships away from MSK like super quickly,
mm-hmm.
and then have the builds of MSK trying to get those titles back from Grizzly Young Vets who have stolen away their gold and their titles.
Yeah.
I think that was a good. I think that's a good way to go. And just have the chasing baby faces, because the NXT tag title division needs something right now, and I think MSK is the answer for what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, really good stuff. And now we go backstage and we get a little cheeky music video.
Yeah,
a little cheeky music
someone
video.
Someone comes in his very sports expensive car.
Yep, his Lamborghini.
Door opens and they come. Here come the boots. money, I'm stocking money. I'm going to the moon. I forgot the tune of it, but it was so good.
It's so funny.
So good.
So funny.
Here comes Cameron Grimes.
Here comes Cameron Grimes. He's going to the moon. You can kiss Margaret. It's so funny.
It's just like a whole minute and a half of like a song made.
Yeah, it was made purposely. By Josiah Williams, Wrestle and Flow, to
purposely for him to say that, like, he's got money
and
he
just
invested
see him
on
in,
the
in, yeah investing in game stuff and all this stuff, and you just see him with clips of him just throwing his money in the air, him
by
in
the pool in his panties,
him in his pants in like the paint me like your French girls kind of pose with all the money, tossing the money
swimming
around
in the
Lamborghini
money.
Swimming in the money, going
burning
crazy,
the money,
and just shouting out to the moon all the time. It was great. It's
so good,
so funny. Cameron Grimes is just great.
Good.
He's amazing. He's my favorite.
Honestly,
because
for us, obviously, it starts at midnight and it finishes at like 2:30 in the morning, the show. So it was a good time. I was getting very sleepy. So it was a very good time for it to come in and actually wake me up.
Yeah.
It was a really good moment to like, all right, let's get back into the action. Even though the matches before were really good.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just getting very tired because... late.
yeah, we were ready to take a break and hit the rest of it today.
Today, yeah.
But Cameron Grimes brought us back into it.
Woke us up, yeah.
Yes, we got very excited with Cameron Grimes and his grits.
So good. So good.
But yes, we'll see more from
he's
Cameron
incredible.
Grimes on Wednesday, I assume.
Yes.
But yeah, on to our semi-main event, we had the NXT Women's Championship match, Toni Storm, Mercedes Martinez, and Io Shirai.
I just remembered...
What?
The table.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the story of this match, really. this is very much kind of... The match kind of ended up being Tony and Mercedes would kind of take out Io Shirai. Io Shirai would be out for a bit. Tony and Mercedes would kind of go at it. Then Io would come back in. They'd do some like three-way spot. And then again, Io would be taken out. Tony and Mercedes would go off to go at each other.
Yeah, and then Io would like do a flippy, like
and then Io high fly. Flip into the scene doing something. Yeah,
high fly move to just break up the pins or anything like that.
It was a nice spot where they all were, Mercedes had a submission on, had a crossface on Tony, and then Io. Then Io had a submission on Martinez. Somewhere around in there. There was a three-way submission in there, which was very nice. I can't think who had submission who at this point. But yeah, that was a really nice spot. But the thing everyone wants to hear about in this one is when they go to the outside, Toni Storm, she's looking to hit Storm Zero through the announce table. So she's going to clear it up. She clears up the announce table, very lightly touches it, just starts to knock the things off. Hasn't even got rid of like half of the stuff.
Yes.
And the table just goes...
crumbles.
Bloop,
bloop.
And it's gone.
She's just clearing it up, and then like 2 seconds later, the table's on the floor, and Tony's just looking at it,
and
being
just
like,
okay. She just stands there,
and
like,
she
okay.
goes back to Mercedes, and she was like, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do now. And she's in that impasse for like 20 seconds. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
Whilst Tio is going up the light thingy.
Yes, climbing up the scaffolding in the arena.
And then you can see her. There's a video on Twitter where you can see her from behind the scaffolding, and she's kind of like pointing to the other two girls on the floor, trying to tell them where to go.
Get into position.
I assume they were meant to do that on the table, question mark.
Yeah, because it was a bit of a repeat of the Katie Canzaro spot from NXT a couple of weeks ago, jumping off from up there. But I assume it was supposed to be a big spot onto the table. But unfortunately, that isn't how it worked out.
Even if the table had held up for a little bit longer, I'm sure...
It would have just collapsed underneath them, probably. Yeah. It wasn't a well-made table for them.
No.
It was not put together properly. It was dreadful.
It was the opposite of I am the table.
Yes. So the match comes to a finish. Tony and Mercedes are in the ring, doing whatever they do, beating each other up for a bit. I'm sorry, this match was good. It just wasn't...
Yeah.
It just didn't... Especially after the table,
especially
after the table spot, I was very distracted by the table thing. So I kind of missed. I didn't miss the end, but I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have been. Mercedes and Tony going at it. Mercedes has Tony pinned for the 1-2-3, but in comes Io hitting the moonsault onto Mercedes in the pin, and then she pins Mercedes Martinez to get the 1-2-3. Mm-hmm. Pretty easy retention for Io Shirai.
Yeah, expected.
A shorter match as well.
It was. It was like 15. 20 minutes, I think.
It was like 10, 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a thing in the, because Triple H does his media calls afterward, and apparently the match was, they gave the match 20 minutes in time, but apparently the wrestlers and the agents decided they didn't want to go that long. So.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough. I'm not going to say anything to blame them. But yeah, it did feel a little bit short, especially compared to the other matches.
Yeah,
but
the other matches were also
long. It's also
long,
not a bad thing, because all the other matches were so long.
Yeah.
It was a long match.
They were very long, yeah.
Yeah. So then we move on to our main event of the night, Finn Balor defending his NXT Championship against Peter Dune! We got a cool little entrance thing where you saw them walking backstage, very serious, made it feel very intense before they came out to see their entrance.
Yeah.
It was a good match, this one. It was slow starting, very much what you'd expect from these two. Lots of Pete Dunne working over the hands and the arms of Finn Balor, and Finn just trying to do whatever he can. He ended up working over the legs.
That's what I was going to say.
Pete Dunne. But he's just kind of, I need to do something. Please just let me do something.
Yes.
But yeah, really, really nice match these two. I it's slow at the start. It took me a little bit to get into it.
Yeah.
But once they really got into the top gear, this match was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it funny that Finn Balor could have just moved his hands so many times.
Yes.
And then Pete wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Placing Finn's hands on the mat and then jumping to go and stamp on them.
Yeah. But it's a nice spot. It's a cool spot having Finn's hands on the floor and then you jump on his hands, but or like step on his hands. But like Finn could have just moved his hands very easily. And he's like, he decides not to.
Technicalities.
I know. Yeah, lots of finger breaking, finger popping, working over the arms.
There was, I forgot to mention, on the like very first match.
Oh my goodness, we've gone back.
When they were doing the double team where they pulled Dakota's legs apart.
Oh yeah,
They broke her legs almost. But yeah, anyways, it was just funny.
They broke her in half. It was, yes.
I just remembered that, sorry.
But yeah, this match kind of came to her, and I thought Pete Dunne, there was a really good close fall where he had got it. He worked over the arm of Finn, obviously. They got his arm. He had Finn's arm underneath his own crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Did something. I forgot what move he did first. Did a move, and then to go and kind of get Finn Balor to stop fighting back, used Finn Balor's own arm, essentially, to hit himself in the balls, and then managed to get it into the bitter end. 1, 2, 3. No, super close.
So close.
Super close. It was really, really nice pinfall there. Lots of reversals between trying to get into the bitter end and the 1916. But it all came to a head when Finn Balor ended up managing to get a big reversal and pulled out Pete Dunne's mouth guard. And then he sprinted at him full force, huge drop kick to the face and basically knock him out.
Yes.
And then up the top, coup de grace, get him up, 1916, 1, 2, 3, Finn Balor is still your NXT champion. But it was a really fun match, this one. Really good match.
Really, really good.
Once everything got going, these two worked really well together. And it's a bit of a shame for Pete to not pick up a title still, but
he'll do it down the line.
He'll do it down the line. He's only 27.
Yeah.
He's only 27. It's wild.
Yeah, he's really young.
He's still very young.
He's got time.
I kind of forgotten how young Pete Dunne was. I say, yeah. But obviously he was so young when he was in the NXT UK tournament and everything. It's, yeah, that feels like such a long time ago now. But yeah. But then post-match, out comes Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. They come to beat down Finn Balor. Pete Dunne joins in, beating down, beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down, beat down, for quite a while.
Shock the system.
Bow. Out comes the UE, Adam Cole, Roddy Strong, and Kyle O'Reilly to go and save the day. Well, they save Finn Balor. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor have a little moment in the middle of the ring.
The other guys just... bye.
Yeah, they were just like, we're getting out of here now. We don't want to deal with this. So they were given the middle of the ring, having a little bit of a moment together. The potential teasing of Finn Balor joining the UE. Carl points at his shirt, points at the logo. They all get into the line together to go and do the UE hand symbol. Finn doesn't do it. Finn does his own thing. Oh, also... sorry, on a slightly different note, I didn't notice it at the time, but it's a brilliant thing that Finn Balor did, which I didn't realise. So obviously he usually does the guns.
Yeah.
But at the end of the match, his hands had been so broken.
I noticed that.
He couldn't do the guns. He had to do like zombie hands.
Yeah, he did just zombie hands. He didn't like stretch his fingers because he couldn't. I noticed that.
I just thought it was funny yesterday, but I didn't realise that's what it was until I saw someone talking about it. It's like, oh, wow.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense.
It's really clever. But yes, I've paused at the perfect point to build more tension. Finn Balor goes to go and do his own thing, and then out of nowhere... super kick to the side of the head. Adam Cole turning on Finn Balor.
No.
And then Kyle O'Reilly's very upset. He's like, what are you doing, brother? Brother, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? No. He's my friend. No. I'm ginger. I may as well be Irish. And then Adam Cole super kicks Kyle O'Reilly in the face and makes his way up the ramp. Roddy Strong left in the ring. He's looking left. He's looking right. He doesn't know where to go. Poor Roddy in the middle of the ring.
Staying, like, by the ropes.
Yeah, he doesn't make a decision as to where he's going to go. His allegiance is...
yeah.
Adam Cole stands at the top of the ramp. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor dead in the ring.
Yeah.
Undisputed. Broken. No more. Adam Cole has brought heartbreak to NXT Vengeance Day.
Break. the system.
Break the system. Is that Adam Cole's new music?
Yes.
Yeah. It was a good little, it was a good finish. It was a nice little finish. It felt expected.
Yeah.
Like Adam Cole, kind of, you could see it in his eyes a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That something was going to go down. Because he could have just still been the teasers they've been doing. They've been teasing this for ages.
It just wasn't very into the whole celebration. Let's get him to join Undisputed Era.
Yeah, he was kind of a bit to the side, a bit away from it all.
Yeah.
Not as into it. And yeah, this is great for Adam Cole. And like an Adam Cole Kyle O'Reilly feud is going to be really good.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's going to be great stuff to see where this all goes in the mm-hmm. future. And Rozzy being conflicted in the middle.
Yes.
Like Adam Cole had, because like, originally, everyone thought that the feud was going to end up being, because like they've been teasing the split forever mm-hmm. and ever and ever. Like Adam Cole and Roddy versus Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish,
mm-hmm.
like was the way it kind of always seemed like it was going to go. But obviously, because Bobby Fish is injured, I think this is a very nice way to have it with Roddy being the conflicted in the middle. We'll have to see where Roddy lands going forwards. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting how this all goes. But yeah. But that is it for our NXT Vengeance Day review. Anything else you want to say?
Very, very, very good. Go and watch it.
Yeah, go and watch it. It's only 2.5 hours. Go and watch it. You can skip the women's match if you want. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, EO. I'm sorry, Tony. I'm sorry, Mercedes. You can skip that match. It wasn't that good. It was still good. It was good for NXT. Like, when I'm saying not that good, I'm saying for NXT standards.
Yes, yes.
Like compared to the other stuff they've had and the other stuff on the card.
Especially the whole card. Yeah. Compared to that one match but
I look forward to seeing Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly. I look forward to seeing where we're going to go with everything else, I guess.
And the tag titles.
Yeah. MSK winning those tag titles. Dakota and Raquel winning those women's tag titles. Bring them to our next day. Touch wood. We'll see what happens. But that is all for this episode of the Elite Takeover Podcast. Thank you very much for watching. And we will see you
next time.